Okay, President Biden, you want clean energy or jobs? Pick one. I'm Scott Ott with Bill Whittle and Stephen Green. This episode of Right Angle brought to you by the members at BillWhittle.com. Gentlemen, there's a story in the New York Times as we record this talking about the battle between Democrats and Democrats, the base versus the base. Basically, the environmentalists are saying we need to accelerate the use of clean energy sources in the United States, and the labor unions are saying we need to have good, high-paying, stable union jobs. And President Biden is saying both. And that's a beautiful thing, except that they're mutually exclusive. In other words, right now there's very little manufacturing capacity in the United States for things like wind turbines, solar arrays, and batteries. There's some, but not much. All of that stuff is being made overseas, most of it being made in China. If we develop that capacity, Stephen Green, it could take until maybe the end of the decade until we're really up and running with that, which will slow down the deployment of offshore wind turbines, for example, and drive up the costs, perhaps making it to the point where consumers are not willing to pay the price of the electricity that's generated by the clean sources that are going to save the planet. Stephen Green, how does President Biden thread this needle between two very powerful, very important aspects of the Democratic base?
Scott, you know what this is? This is the world's tiniest violin being played for Joe Biden's political troubles. Screw this guy and his coalition too. Ugh. It's really all I want to say about that, but I will go into some details. You know, our situation with China reminds me of California's situation with neighboring states. California likes to brag about how much more, what proportion of their energy production in state is done by renewables. Well, the fact is California doesn't produce enough electricity for California, and they import electricity from places like Arizona, where they use one of those evil nuclear plants, and Nevada. And maybe they're even buying it from Oregon by now. I don't know. What I do know is that California is getting bragging rights by masking the problem by having other states do their dirty work for them. It's the same thing with our clean energy in China. I saw a video on YouTube not too long ago about just how dirty it is to make solar panels, because one of the primary ingredients in solar panels is coal. And so you've got all this carbon sequestered in the coal, and you can either release that carbon by burning the coal and making energy directly, or you can release the carbon by burning the coal to make solar panels that produce a lot less electricity. It's absolute madness.
It writes itself.
But we get to have these bragging rights about clean energy because we've exported the unsequestering of coal over to China instead of doing it here. That said, you know, this country still produces 25% of the world's manufacturing wealth, and it's been a pretty steady figure for quite a while now. The thing is, we don't produce the things that you see on store shelves. You know, we produce a lot of jet aircraft. We produce a lot of cars. We produce a lot of commercial items that people don't notice. And these tend to be the high margin, high profit margin items. The consumer goods that China makes and that Vietnam increasingly makes and that India increasingly makes, these are low profit margin items for the most part, because frankly, anybody can assemble this stuff. It's not so much manufacturing as assembling. That iPhone you buy that says designed by Apple in California, manufactured in China or assembled in China, it's only assembled in China. The screen comes from South Korea. The chips come from Taiwan. The camera comes from Japan. The gyroscope comes from Germany or Switzerland. All these high margin parts come together to be cheaply assembled in China. Those jobs aren't coming back here. We don't want those jobs here. They're low wage jobs for low profit margin items. The good stuff is in the guts. The good stuff is in the commercial aircraft. We still do that stuff. And when Joe Biden tells you those jobs are coming back here, he's lying. And he's also lying that this clean energy stuff is actually clean at all.
Bill Whittle, Steve brings up an important point there that President Biden, in his address to a joint session of Congress, tried to make the explicit connection between the environmental movement and the whole climate change battle and something that is more of concern to blue-collar middle America, and that is, as President Biden would say, jobs, jobs, jobs. And I actually thought that that was somewhat of a smart move on his part to be able to make that explicit link, because there are a lot of people in middle America saying, yeah, I'd love to have a, you know, to not have the East Coast completely flooded sometime in the distant future, but I need a job, and I need it now, and it needs to pay well. And so I thought Biden's political messaging there was astute, but as the New York Times, you know, no friend of conservative Republicans, points out, that becomes very challenging. And when you start talking about jobs, it's like, what kind of jobs? Labor leaders are making demands that manufacturing be in the United States, because they understand that the majority of the jobs that are we're really talking about right now are construction and installation jobs, not manufacturing jobs. And those are temporary and low pay. It's the manufacturing jobs that can possibly provide long-term, more stable employment at higher wages. Bill, is it just is there a way for the president of the United States, and not just for political purposes, I know what Steve said is correct, we don't care about the fortunes of this particular Democratic president, but as a country, clearly this is a direction the whole world is moving in, this clean energy movement. Does it make any sense at all to say, yeah, let's invest in the infrastructure to do manufacturing in the United States, even if it costs us more, because it'll be worth it in the long run?
There is nothing about clean energy that makes any reasonable sense at all, period. And that's it. You can just continue down this path forever, but just to keep it as brief as possible, the dirty little secret about solar plants and wind plants is that they both have backup generators that are put into place when the sun goes down and when the wind stops blowing, which parenthetically reminds me of the joke, you know, use the image of a light bulb appearing over somebody's head for their, I think Joe's got a wind-powered light bulb, you know, on a calm day.
That's why it's
so dim. Breeze kicks up. But seriously, you cannot not have power. So on those occasions where the so-called clean energy things are not generating power, you have to have a traditional power plant there to fill that gap. And because it's a smaller plant, it suffers from the economy of scale that you would have if you just put in a big plant in the first place. To give you an idea of how ridiculous this whole thing is, in California, they shut down the San Onofre nuclear plant, which I believe generated 1,600 megawatts of power, and replaced it with a solar cell farm, which generated 35 megawatts of power. And in California, and this is not a joke, I saw this in, from a physics point of view, I fell out of my chair. In California, we consider an energy generating plant, I'm not making this up, to be a reservoir on the top of a hill. And at nighttime, when the energy rates are lower, we pump water into the reservoir. And then at the daytime, when the energy rates are higher, we let it come down through a turbine and generate power at a higher rate. In other words, our energy source requires energy in order to create the energy that we're going to use later. We have to pump water from one place to another using electricity in order to get this electricity back at a more expensive rate. This is the kind of thing that makes California, California. You can go on and on and on with this forever. But basically, if you ask me, what seems to be happening is, it seems that Joe Biden is proposing that we use the inventiveness, the agility, and the rapid responsibility of the big federal government, combined with the ruthless efficiency of union labor, which is going to be what's going to be needed to provide the magical technology necessary to take us from 5 or 6% of our total energy needs to 100%. And this is how we're going to get it done. This is why we can't have nice things, Scott. You know, and by the way, for all of you younger people out there, this is why we can't have socialism either. There was a remark made by one of the socialist Scandinavian countries. I think it was Sweden. And they basically said one of the reasons that we were able to do this is we were able to cut down, you know, provide all these social benefits is we just cut a lot of jobs out. And we have automated trolley cars. And this guy said that would never be allowed in America. There would have to be union drivers on these cars. Okay, there you go. But basically what he's saying is this. We are going to abandon the cleanest fossil fuel there is, which is natural gas, which we have in abundance. We are an energy exporter. There's more energy under the feet of Americans than there is any other place on the planet. We're going to give that up so that we can be dependent on foreign oil. And our savings in order to do this will be to save the planet, you see, by not releasing all this carbon, which means that our money is going to go to China so that China can burn coal to make solar power plants, that then power panels that then come back to the United States, which work part-time anyway, whose energy rate is three times what it is off of a natural gas-fired rate. And this is how we're going to save the planet. This is the big plan. You know, all I have to say about this is I'm going to have to figure out some way to live long enough to see the number of suicides that are going to take place 40 years from now when the Earth is still here and everything's fine. I really want to be here for that. I really do. There's going to be a lot of people who are going to be very, 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 very disappointed when they discover that these catastrophes that we are being shoehorned into don't happen. And as and just one final thing, just looking out the window, in Los Angeles, when I got here in 1988, in the summertime, you couldn't see three blocks. I worked in Hollywood when I first got here in the summer, and I was here for 2.5 weeks before I looked around. So, oh my God, this is a valley. There are mountains out there. Santa Monica Hills are out there. I'm not making that up. Those days are gone. And the reason those days are gone is because, among other things, they said, we're going to convert our buses from diesel to clean burning natural gas. And you know what? It worked just great. The air out there is spotless, absolutely clean, because we're burning natural gas, which we produce here. No, 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 no. That's all going to go away because of some fantasy ideology. And you can argue with reality all you want to, but, you know, it's like lots and lots of airplanes have collided with mountains and the mountain wins every time, right?
You know, I hate to make an old-fashioned fuel analogy here, but I remember the great Earl Nightingale, who did a lot of motivational and positive mental attitude kind of audio programs years ago in books, talking about a guy who would stand in front of a stove and demand that the stove give him heat. And he said, there won't be any heat until you put some wood in it. Unless you're willing to put the fuel in there, there's no fire, there's no heat. And I think what we're seeing is two groups highlighted in this New York Times story, and then the third group being the journalists who wrote the story, really, who are shouting, give me heat, but they're not willing to do what it takes to get the heat. So the labor unions are demanding that they need good, high-paying jobs. The environmentalists are demanding that America quickly shift from a petroleum-based or fossil fuel-based society to a so-called clean energy, which, as Bill and Steve both pointed out, doesn't really exist, to shift to that basis. And in that story, there is nobody who's an entrepreneur who's saying, hey, I see a great opportunity in clean energy manufacturing plants in the United States of America. You know, the reason why oil took off in the United States as a source of fuel is because there were entrepreneurs who said, hey, if I can get that stuff out of the ground and sell it to people, then I can make a profit on that. And then I can be successful and I can get a whole chain of these little distribution stations and refineries and wells and all that kind of stuff. There was motivation for personal growth and development in being able to pull oil out of the ground, refine it, and then sell it to other people. But when you have a system where the government is essentially saying, look, we want you to do this, but we got to admit, this is so bad, we're going to pay you to do it. We have to incentivize you to do this because there's no money in it. And then the entrepreneur looks at that and says, do I stake my fiscal future to the government's continued will to provide these incentives with no horizon in sight where it says it's actually going to make money on its own right? And so I don't know. I'm sure there are entrepreneurs out there. There are many. Elon Musk being one of them, who's creating battery plants and solar panels, stuff like that. But there was no input from the business industry entrepreneur part of the equation. And I think that that's basically where the Democrats' proposals are cutting their own throats, because their entire scheme relies upon the government mandating that you do something, and then the government incentivizing you to do it, and then the government subsidizing it when it drives up the cost of production so much that people can no longer afford it. Once you solve that riddle, and my suggestion would be to rely on free markets and the motivation that individual people have to better themselves, well, then everything's going to be okay. Until you solve that riddle, you're just going to burn yourself out trying to make clean energy. For Bill Whittle and Stephen Green, I'm Scott Ott. Thanks to the members at BillWhittle.com for making Right Angle possible.